WEM Update News. I'm Margaret DeMaribus, and it's 8:02. The park and green space at Anvil City Square in Nome is spared, and it was public outcry and more than 500 signatures on an informal petition that did it. The Nome Common Council last night decided to now locate the Richard Foster Building at the north end of Stedman, a location called Commerce Bench. Bridie Trainer initiated the informal Save the Park petition near Old St. Joe's and spoke at various council meetings, supporting an alternate location for the new museum and library.
There are a lot of people that worked together and spoke up about it, so I'm just happy.
Mayor Denise Michaels said several times during the meeting last night that the council simply needed to make a decision on the location. The council had discussed conducting some investigation on the location, but Mayor Michaels was adamant that a decision needed to be made. The city has already lost 1,000 square feet of the building due to the time it's taken to decide on a location. Councilman Gerald Brown made the motion to rescind the council's earlier resolution to locate the Richard Foster Building near Old St. Joe's. All council members voted in favor, with the exception of Councilman Stan Anderson and Councilman Randy Pomerantz, who was excused from the meeting. Mayor Michaels says the grassroots movement from the Nome public could not be ignored.
I think the council needs to listen to our voters on what their needs were, and I'm glad they did it. I know they were a little hesitant on making a decision, but the more we delayed, the more this is going to cost, the more space we lose. And so I just kept begging the council tonight to make a decision. We need to move forward to this, and I'm very happy they did.
Mayor Michaels says the Commerce Bench location is a great location.
It's not confrontational. You have many opportunities to expand, to put a park space down there, more green space, put outside exhibits. So I'm glad.
While the location is now selected, a big question yet remains. The council decided last year to include Cowerick's Beringia Museum program within the walls of the Richard Foster Building, with Cowerick leasing space, thereby offsetting the operating costs for Nome taxpayers. Cowerick President Melanie Banky says Cowerick has requested the city for a formal agreement between the two entities.
Our main concern has been having space available for Cowerick to lease in the building, regardless of where it is at. And since 2011, we had offered up our lot across the street. So now that Stedman is selected, I think it opens up some possibilities because there's more space available. So there are opportunities for building not just a museum component, but down the road possibly a cultural center addition that is a gathering center.
Cowerick asks for 2,750 square feet of space for their program. In other business, the Port of Nome hired Lucas Stotts as the new harbor master. Also in utility manager John Hanlon's report, he said two wind turbines can be seen on Banner Peak. The last blades were hung on Monday. Generation from the turbines is expected at the end of the month or the beginning of August. The bodies of three people killed in a fire in Nunum Equa last month have been identified. 43-year-old Joseph Ignatius, 25-year-old Edward Murphy, and an 8-year-old boy were living in the home when the fire began near the entrance to the home. Alaska State Troopers report the fire occurred on June 28th at 6:20 in the morning. 14 people were in the home when the fire broke out. Two people were medevaced to Bethel for treatment of minor burns and smoke inhalation. Community members were able to extinguish the fire. The cause of the fire is still being investigated. A federal agency has again rejected an endangered species listing for a species of ice seal found off Alaska. NOAA Fisheries announced Tuesday it is rejecting a listing for ribbon seals as it did in December 2008. The agency says in an announcement that anticipated threats from reductions in sea ice and disruption to prey will result in a gradual decline in ribbon seal population numbers. However, the decline is not expected to put them in danger of extinction in the foreseeable future. Ribbon seals are found in the Bering and Chukchi Seas and the Sea of Okhotsk off Russia. Ribbon seals during summer live entirely in water. From March through June, ribbon seals use loose pack ice for reproduction and molting. After getting a no from the Department of the Interior, Governor Sean Parnell has doubled down on a plan to conduct seismic testing in a section of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports the administration on Tuesday offered a new plan, pledged more money to the effort, and argued that the federal government was legally obligated to consider their proposal. In the second press conference in as many months, Governor Sean Parnell reaffirmed his commitment to finding out just how much oil there is in the refuge.
But it's important for Alaska and our country not just to be on defense, but to go on offense. That's why we've moved into the second phase of our ANWR policy.
The phase he's referring to involves pushing harder on the federal government to allow 3D seismic testing inside a section of coastal plain called the 1002 area. Parnell introduced a testing plan in May, and the initial idea had been for the state, federal government, and industry to team up and conduct winter studies of the area over the next 3 years. It would have cost about $150 million, with the governor proposing the state pay for up to a third of that. But in late June, Interior Secretary Sally Jewell rejected that plan, saying that the window for doing seismic work in ANWR closed in the 1980s. That's where the change in the governor's strategy comes in. The Parnell administration is now charging that Jewell's interpretation of the law is wrong, and that the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act obligates the federal government to review their plan and offer an answer in 120 days. And they've offered a new plan that would have the state shoulder most, if not all, of the financial burden at the start.
This is not meant to be a partnership with the federal government at this point.
Whether the Department of the Interior will even consider the new plan is unclear. Spokesperson Jessica Kershaw says the secretary remains opposed to oil exploration and seismic testing within the refuge, but that they can't speculate on a plan they have not seen and a permit application they have not reviewed. For his part, Parnell was vague on what the state would do if the federal government blocked his plan, but didn't rule out litigation.
What we do in response to a negative, a decline by the secretary, if and when she gets to that point, but I'm not going to be able to speculate on that right now.
The last time the federal government seriously considered development in ANWR was in 1995, when Congress voted in favor of drilling, but was ultimately vetoed by President Bill Clinton. A 78-year-old Anchorage man has become the oldest person to reach the top of Mount McKinley. Tom Choate reached the summit of North America's tallest peak on June 28th. Choate is a retired biology professor and climbing veteran. He first climbed the mountain in 1963, and he returned in 1983, 1993, 2003, and this year, reaching the summit in five different decades. And for your gold prices at this hour, gold is up $4.90 an ounce to $1,256.60. Silver is up a penny to $19.37. Zinc is at 84 cents a pound. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive late at 9:21 and to depart at 10:06. It is unofficially 45 degrees outside the KNOM studios, coming up on 11 minutes after 8 o'clock.